Welcome to our pre-ICANN 54 policy update webinar. I'm happy to have everyone on the call today. My name is David Olive. I'm ICANN's Vice President for Policy Development Support and General Manager of the ICANN Regional Headquarter Hub in Istanbul, and I'm conducting this webinar from the offices at ICANN in Istanbul, and my colleagues are, of course, around the world to be part of this call. The Policy Development Support Team does this call before each ICANN meeting to provide some background and preparation for the policy and advice issues that are likely to be raised by our community, by you who have been working on these matters for several months in our face-to-face meeting in Dublin very soon. Please note that recording will be made of this, and the slides will be available to you after this call so you can review them at your convenience. We will have a time for questions at the end. However, if you want to raise a question during a presentation by one of our colleagues, please put it in the chat and we'll try to answer that as quickly as possible. With that, I would just like to go through some of the highlights that we expect at ICANN 54, obviously because there will be several new community leaders from the supporting organizations and the advisory committees joining this meeting. We have a leadership training program for them where we combine these new leaders with orientation and introduction to ICANN from the existing members of the community and some board members. Obviously, Monday is an important day, the opening session on the 19th with our welcoming ceremony and other important issues to be discussed throughout that day. I'll point that out a little later. Tuesday is a constituency day. That's where many of the stakeholders and constituencies meet among themselves to talk about their activities throughout the ICANN week, and they also have an opportunity to meet with our board of directors as well. Wednesday is basically Council Day, where the preparations of the various groups throughout the days prior to Wednesday come to a focal point when the formal councils meet make their decisions or review the various policy and advisory processes moving forward. And Thursday is the ICANN Public Forum, and finally completing that day with an ICANN board meeting. In terms of many of the issues at this stage, of course, the issues around the transition of the IANA stewardship and enhancing ICANN's accountability are top on the list. And here are a number of sessions for the various groups working on that. And many of you on this call may be also participating in these sessions. And there are quite a few of them for those interactions and briefing people within the community on the progress of the proposals in these two areas. Here is some more information that you can look at, and when the slides provide the websites to find more information about the IANA stewardship transition and the cross-community working group on enhancing ICANN's accountability. With that, I just wanted to briefly talk about the role of policy development support at ICANN and the policy development team that facilitates and helps assist the community in their work. And, of course, it is you, the community members, who create the policies and guidelines that are done through our consensus process and presented to the board for decisions. Our role is to help support you in that participation, as well as to make sure that people are informed and educated about the issues. Of course, we look to make sure that the process is fair and followed and public comments are put into these mechanisms so that we can get the full inputs of our community members. Obviously, policy development is a work of the supporting organizations, and they are listed here, dealing with the addressing space, the country code space, and the generic name space, and also influenced by the advisory committees, people from the governmental side at large, the root server system advisors, as well as the security and stability advisors, all have a comment or input into the process as they see fit. And our policy team, of course, does support them in that role of advice, input, and involvement in the policy development process at ICANN. Finally, I wanted to share with you a recent number of data we're collecting as part of our dashboard. This is a work in progress. It is still being worked on, but it kind of shows you the level of activity you, our stakeholders, are engaged in the policy development and advisory development at ICANN. And some of the statistics are amazing for this quarter. 475 calls or meetings, 512 call hours, and the like. And if we were to put face-to-face meetings in Buenos Aires, the policy team supported your work in 160 sessions at that ICANN meeting and ICANN 53 in Buenos Aires, and we expect it to be, again, a busy period. So with that, I just wanted to say we recognize the hard work and efforts you and the community put into the policy development activities, and we're happy to support that activity. And in that regard, I would like to have some members of our policy team brief you on the topics that are going to be at issue at ICANN in Dublin. And with that, I will turn it over to my colleague to talk about the generic name supporting organization and some of the issues on the top priority there.
Thank you very much, David. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Marika Konings, and I'm currently based in Costa Rica and a senior policy director and team leader for the Generic Name Supporting Organization, also known as GNSO. So in addition to the work that's going on in relation to the IANA stewardship transition, as well as enhancing ICANN accountability, which David has already referenced to in his introduction, there are also numerous other projects that the GNSO is working on, including 13 policy development processes, or PDPs, in the various stages of their life cycle. As it's not possible to cover all these projects in the time we have allocated for the webinar today, our contribution is going to focus on those efforts that have recently achieved an important milestone or for which decisions on next steps are expected to be considered in Dublin. For the first one of those, I'll turn it over to my colleague, Judy Headland, who is stepping in for Chief Steve Chan today.
Thank you very much, Marika. This is Julie Headland, and I'm very pleased to be able to present on behalf of my colleague, Steve Chan, on the preliminary issue report, new GTLD subsequent procedures. And just moving ahead here, I'm not going to read everything on this page. You will have these slides afterwards to reference, but there is now a public comment form that is open. This has been opened as a result of analysis and discussion that started back in 2012 when the GNSO Council formed a discussion group to discuss the experiences gained from the 2012 round and the subjects for future issue report that might lead to changes or adjustments for subsequent application procedures. And the Council has requested a preliminary issue report. That report has been produced, and it has been released into the public forum for comment. And the comment opened on the 31st of August, and it closes on the 30th of October. And you'll see there on the slide there is a link to that public comment forum. And the current status is that the preliminary issue report is establishing the initial scope for a possible PDP. It is not actually trying to seek solutions, but it is establishing issues, and in fact, there are five provisional groupings of issues, each with a set of subject totaling 38 subjects. And this includes preliminary thoughts on work processes. The next step is that the Public comment will close on the 30th, as noted. There will be a summary report produced. And following that, based on the comments received, the final issue report will be provided to the GNSO Council for deliberations and the possible initiation of a PDP. And here, here's some more information with some links to related information for the preliminary issue report. And now I would like to turn things over to Barry Cobb, who also is stepping in for Steve Chan today. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. We do wish Steve well in his absence. I'll be stepping in for just a little bit to just brief the group on the latest results of the Data and Metrics for Policymaking Working Group. This group was launched based off of a prior effort dealing with registration abuses, which is quite a while ago, but this group is finally coming to a close. When this effort was first identified, essentially staff was asked to create an issue report that then subsequently was approved after review by the GNSO Council, and then they formed this group as a non-PDP working group. Essentially, the opportunities are being explored in terms of reviewing standard methods of reporting and metrics that can help inform fact-based policy development and decision-making, and also in terms of how the community can collaborate with contracted parties and other service providers in the sharing of this data. In essence, what mostly was happening is in terms of trying to enhance the culture within the policymaking arena to use more data and metrics to enhance that policy process. Some of the tasks of the DMPM include issue identification and prioritization. They looked at key performance metrics for recommended policy, as well as some fact-based assessments of policy outcomes. And in leading up to those tasks, it also included a review of prior working group efforts to make a determination or at least try to garner lessons learned from those prior efforts as to where metrics or data could have helped improve the outcome of that particular group, or if they didn't use it, what some of those lessons learned were. Through the group's deliberations, they produced an initial report. This was back in July. They did launch a public comment for 40 days, and I think we received about 9 or 10 comments from the community. So as a result of that effort, they created 7 total recommendations that thus far are pretty much intact from what the initial report is. As I mentioned, the group did review through each of those public comments, and there were some slight changes to the final report that will be forwarded to the GNSO Council by tomorrow. I'll just briefly run through these high-level recommendations. There is a link provided here that can take you to the initial report that you can at least review those in some detail. As I said, they really haven't changed that much. The first recommendation, and probably the biggest one, is to initiate a pilot effort for stakeholder groups and constituencies within the GNSO to request metrics and data from at more of a tactical level, or tactical probably shouldn't be used, but a smaller set of data that is easier access. Certainly there are areas where there is publicly available data, but in certain cases there might be some sort of resources required to acquire that data and distill it down into meaningful metrics. But this pilot effort is not only to target current working groups as they're deliberating their issues, but it's also to help support the very early stages of the policy process, which is typically around issue identification and scoping. It's prior to when the GNSO Council would make a determination as to whether to launch a particular working group or at least have staff create an issue report on that issue. So it's going to allow for stakeholder groups and constituencies to perhaps request some data to further refine and define an issue. And if there is, if it does determine that it is indeed a particular issue, then it would be kick off in the later stages of the policy process. The second and third, fourth, and really the remainder of the recommendations are slight updates to the GNSO operating procedures, or specifically some of the working group guidelines. The second one is just to enhance some of the guidelines that are provided around the early outreach mechanism within working groups. Right now, typically, there's a request sent out by stakeholder groups or constituencies to across the SOs and ACs. That typical format is mostly from a qualitative perspective, and so we made some updates or suggested some updates that will also try to invoke a quantitative aspect where that's possible. Another recommendation is for the staff to create templates of the work products that the working group creates. That in of itself isn't necessarily within the scope of the DMPM. However, the subsequent recommendations are actually trying to install a template-style recommendation for what we've kind of been coining as a continuous improvement. But really what it is a recommendation that should any policy recommendations be created by a working group, that there's a form of review of those policies after they're implemented to make sure that they had the intended effect or the intended policy outcome. So recommendations 3, 4, and 5 really touch upon that. And then recommendations 6 and 7 are also updates to the working group guidelines, but there were two deliverables that the group had created. One is a form by which the community can request metrics up through the GNSO Council, as well as kind of a decision tree to navigate this process. And as I said, all of this pretty much feeds back into recommendation 1 for the pilot effort. So current status, as I mentioned, the group has completed the review of the public comments. We've finalized the final report that will be submitted to the GNSO Council on Friday, and for their consideration in Dublin, and should the GNSO Council pass those recommendations, then, of course, staff will be asked to implement those. And here there was a slide for some other information, but that one in there, so I'll hand that over to Marika. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Barry, and just to note at the end of our section, there will be a link to a wiki page where everyone can find more information on each of these efforts and the relevant documents. So I'll be speaking to you next about the next generation GTLD registration directory services to replace WHOIS final issue report, or I think we're probably going to refer to this as well, next generation RDS, to make it a bit briefer. As many of you, I think, are aware and know, WHOIS was created in the 1980s to serve as a collection and publication of domain name registration data service by Internet operators to be able to identify and contact individuals or entities that were responsible for running a network resource on the Internet. And although ICANN's requirements for domain name registration data collection, access, and accuracy for GTLD registries has undergone significant changes over the years, including registration data publication service specification as part of the 2013 Registrar Accreditation Agreement, or RAA, the WHOIS policy itself and the underlying protocol have been subject to a debate for nearly 15 years to date. So comprehensive WHOIS policy reform remains the source of long-running discussion related to issues such as the purpose of collecting the data, accuracy, privacy, anonymity, costs, policing, intellectual property protection, security, etc. So to address these issues, the board launched an initiative already dating back to 2012, which it recently reconfirmed for a board-initiated policy development process to define the purpose of collecting, maintaining, and providing access to GTLD registration data, and to consider safeguards for protecting data, using the recommendations that were developed by the expert working group on this topic as an input to, and if deemed appropriate, a foundation for a new GTLD policy. As part of this process, the staff published what we call a preliminary issue report for public comment in July of this year. We received 13 comments on that report, which basically fell in the following three buckets. First of all, comments that suggested clarifications, corrections, or enhancements of the preliminary issue report. Two comments that focus on the recommended process framework to manage this PDP, which were also reflected in the draft PDP charter that was included in that preliminary issue report. And thirdly, inputs on potential recommendations and implementation guidance to be generated by the PDP working group. So following our review of those comments, staff finalized this issue report actually yesterday, and it was submitted to the GNSO Council for its consideration. So the final issue report contains a wealth of information on the specific topic. All relevant background information has been covered or is linked to. Furthermore, additional input that may be relevant to the PDP is referenced, such as GAC advice that has been provided on this topic, and that is from the Article 29 Working Party, and many other information. The final issue report also covers the expert working group final report and recommendations and provides a detailed overview of the process framework that was developed jointly by the ICANN board and the GNSO Council to be able to deal with the many significant and interdependent policy areas that are involved in addressing this issue. And, of course, the final issue report also covers the issues that are expected to be discussed and addressed, as well as a draft PDP working group charter, which outlines the scope and proposed process for the PDP working group based on the previously mentioned process framework. So I did want to briefly mention that the process framework, as it is expected to underpin the subsequent steps of the policy development process. So I said this was developed by a joint ICANN board and GNSO Council, a working group. And as they outline the work, it's expected that it's to be carried out in three phases, with the first phase focusing on the policy requirements definition, the if and why question. Secondly, the second phase would focus on functional design, or the what question. And thirdly, phase three would focus on implementation guidance, or the how. How are we going to do this? It is foreseen that at the end of each of these phases, there's consideration of the outcome and a decision taken on whether to move forward to the next phase or not. So it's a very deliberative process. And here you can see how that looks in a graphic depiction. And as you note, for each of these phases, same issues and questions come back, but with a different focus as outlined in the different phases. And I won't dwell on this too much. As I said, the slides will be available after the presentation, so you can look at it at your leisure. So as noted before, the GNSO Council is expected to consider the outputs of each phase before proceeding to the next phase, and in doing so, a consultation with the board working group on registration data directory services that has been recently created is expected. And further consideration will also need to be given by the PDP working group in relation to the timeline, what work can be possibly done in parallel, what needs to be done sequentially, what interdependencies exist with other work that may be going on, or other developments that may be happening, and how to best conduct the work to ensure broad participation and consultation, but also make sure progress is made. So where are we now? As said, the final issue report has been submitted to the GNSO Council, which is now expected to consider the PDP Working Group Charter for adoption. Following the adoption of the charter, the PDP Working Group would be formed, which basically forms the next milestone in this policy development process. And of course, we hope that many of you interested in this topic will sign up at that stage for the working group and participate in subsequent deliberations. And with that, I'll hand it over to my colleague, Mary Wong, who will brief you on some of the other activities that are ongoing in the GNSO.
Thank you, Marika. Hello, everybody. My name is Mary Wong, and it's my pleasurable duty to take you through a brief run-through of some of the other projects that we are pursuing in the GNSO with the community. I'm member of the policy team primarily supporting the GNSO, and I'm currently based in the East Coast of the United States, although I'm originally from Singapore and have the privilege of working with our APAC colleagues now and then on a number of projects as well. So some of the other projects that the GNSO is working on include a number of policy development processes, or PDPs, as well as some non-PDPs. And on this slide, you'll see two PDPs. One is on the access to curative rights, such as the Uniform Dispute Resolution Policy or the new Uniform Rapid Suspension Process by a certain kind of international organization. That would be international governmental organizations and international non-governmental organizations. Some of you may remember this originating in an earlier PDP from the GNSO that examined more broadly the issue of protections for the names and acronyms of these organizations in the domain name system. This current PDP actually looks at a very specific issue, which is summarized on this slide, and it is really whether or not those existing dispute resolution processes that I mentioned earlier should be amended because of the specific needs and concerns of these organizations. One possibility is that they may not necessarily have to be amended, but potentially a new process based on these existing mechanisms could be developed. Where the group is right now is that they have decided to focus their work for various substantive reasons that they've described in their documents on just the international governmental organizations. And they are engaging with the Governmental Advisory Committee as well as with the IGOs themselves to try to resolve a number of fairly important policy issues, such as jurisdictional immunity of these organizations and a number of other items. So you see here that there is now a proposal that being expected from a representative small group of these IGOs that would be presented to the GNSO and the GAC, and of course the GNSO would then consider this proposal as part of this ongoing PDP. There is an open session being planned for ICANN 54, so if you're interested in following the status and progress of work on this topic, you're welcome to attend. And hopefully the group will be able to come to some conclusions that it can put in an initial report that it can publish for public comment after the Dublin meeting or shortly after that time. The second PDP that I'd like to highlight to you all today is one on the accreditation of privacy and proxy service providers. This is an accreditation program that ICANN has already committed to developing, and it arose out of the negotiations a couple of years ago now with the Registrar Stakeholder Group on the new form of the Registrar Accreditation Agreement, or the RAA. What's happened here is that an initial report containing 20 preliminary recommendations, as well as a number of open topics from the working group, was published for public comment in May of this year, and the group is currently reviewing the comments that have come in. It's probably a little noteworthy for folks who have been around the ICANN community for a while that this particular issue, initial report, attracted quite a lot of comments, as you see from the numbers on this slide. And so as a result, the groups had to adjust their timeline a little bit to make sure that it does justice to all these comments that have expressed a number of views, particularly on the open topics that the working group has in its initial report. The target right now is to have a final report with all the consensus recommendations of the group ready at the latest by December 2015. And there is, like some of the other groups, an open session being planned for Dublin that you're very welcome to attend as well, which will follow on an intensive one-day face-to-face working meeting that the group will be having amongst itself as well. So those are two of the ongoing PDPs. One completed PDP is on the translation and transliteration of contact information in GTLDs. You see on this slide a summary of what it's about. And there are actually just two questions fundamentally that this PDP working group was asked to analyze. The group completed its final report some time ago, and I'm pleased to let you all know that the recommendations in the final report were adopted by the ICANN board just a couple of weeks ago, and so we hope to be able to develop and publish an implementation review plan based on these adopted recommendations shortly following the Dublin meeting. The other item on this slide is not yet a PDP, and we don't know yet if there will be one, as my colleagues have highlighted with some of the other ongoing projects. An issue report for the GNSO is basically the first gateway or preceding step to a possible PDP. When a preliminary issue report is published, public comment is then taken on board, a final issue report published, at which point the GNSO Council will consider all the community feedback and then decide whether or not to go forward with a PDP on the topic. So on this particular issue, it is on the various rights protection mechanisms that ICANN has developed over the years in order to provide protection for trademark rights in the domain name system. One of these RPMs, as we have shortened the name, is of course the venerable UDRP, which is perhaps the most long-standing ICANN consensus policy. But as many of you know, there were also a number of additional RPMs that were developed to apply just to the new GTLD program that was launched just a couple of years ago. So this preliminary issue report, which we hope to publish before Dublin, is the culmination of a request from the GNSO Council for a holistic look at whether or not all of these RPMs from the UDRP to the newer ones that were developed for the new GTLD program should be reviewed. And so we look forward to publishing that issue report, to sharing what's in that issue report and discussing the various concerns, issues, and scoping matters that could arise with the community during the ICANN meeting, where a face-to-face session is also scheduled. And, of course, this will then be followed by a final issue report after the close of the public comment period. And finally, for this part of the presentation, there is one project which is not a PDP, but that we would like to highlight as well. And this is that the work of a working group on policy and implementation regarding issues that were raised that affect the GNSO, which could actually involve new processes for allowing the GNSO to more effectively develop policy advice other than the development of consensus policy. I'm pleased to report not only that the working group reached consensus on three new GNSO processes that would allow for that more efficient functioning, but also that all of these new processes were agreed to and adopted by the ICANN board just a week or so ago. And so, as with all the other completed projects, we will look forward to developing an implementation plan for implementing all these recommendations shortly following the Dublin meeting. On that note, I'm going to refer you to some of the websites here that you can look at to either refresh your memory or to know a little bit more about the GNSO at ICANN54. Not just the essentials, but the various projects and briefings that we've prepared for you. And, of course, there's also a wiki space just for the Dublin meeting that will allow you to track the projects and the various sessions that are taking place. And so it is now my pleasure to hand over to my colleague, Bart Boswinkel, who will speak about the Country Codes Name Supporting Organization. Bart?
Thank you, Mary, and welcome to this first policy webinar, and I want to take you, this is a bit of a different angle. The focus of my presentation will be on the what will happen at the Dublin meeting and beyond, and that may be of interest to the broader community than just the CCTLV community. As can be expected, the CCWG, CWG, and ICG state of play will be the focus point of the discussions at the CCNSO in the at the Dublin meeting, and I'll go in more in depth to it. I will allude a little bit to the other sessions at the CCNSO meeting in Dublin and look at the ongoing work of current working groups and some new working groups. And at the end of this whole presentation, you will find the additional information. Now, looking at the transition and accountability work, as could be expected, these are the focal points of attention of the CCNSO community that includes members and non-members of the CCNSO in Dublin. In order to understand their focus and in order to understand the structure of the meeting and why it takes up so much time, it is good to realize that the CCNSO is one of the chartering organizations, as are others, like the GNSO, the ALAC, the NRO, and the GAC, especially of the CCWG. However, one of the, and which is similar as well to some of the others, the CCNSO Council will take the final, will have the final say whether or not to support a proposal, in this case the CCWG proposal, to the board of directors of ICANN. However, and this is probably difficult to understand if you're not part of the CCTLD community, the CCNSO Council decision will depend very much on the view of the CCTLD community at large, so of individual CCTLDs. And the Council decision ultimately reflects the view of the CCTLD community. So hence the need for an extensive set of sessions to inform the CCTLD community itself. So I will not go into the sessions themselves. You can read from the screen. The final outlay of the sessions, etc., can be found on the CCNSO agenda. But it's good to realize that, say, this overview means effectively that it's 7 hours of the two-day meetings of the CCNSO will be taken up by the discussions on the CCWG, CWG, and ICG proposals. As said in the introduction, there are other sessions and on topics that may be of interest to the broader community. In this case, I have listed a few. Probably one of the more interesting ones is what is called the marketing session. In this session, CCTLDs will have will share their views. Some CCTLDs will share their views on the developments in the markets, in the domain name markets that CCTLDs operate, and have a discussion about it. With say the broader community. So this will take place on Tuesday. A other session of interest, or maybe of interest, is what is called the CCTLD news session. In this session, individual CCTLDs will inform and share information about developments within their own CCTLD, either in their market or in their relation with some of the groups in with their stakeholders, or at the level of the CCTLD itself. Another interesting one, and again for the broader community, is this the discussion on meeting B strategy. This is a follow-up from a short meeting in the at the BA meeting. Goal is to understand the needs of the CCTLDs with respect to meeting B in future. So And finally, on the other sessions is what is called a session on legal issues. Again, these are these relate to the U.S. The jurisprudence and jurisdiction related to ccTLD domain names, etc., and which may be of interest to others and who operate all in the markets of the ccTLD, but also to those who have an interest in legal aspects around domain names. Not listed here, but also of interest, what we've seen is what is called Tech Day, and that is on Monday. Tech Day is around the technical and operational information sharing of top-level domain operators, among top-level domain operators. Now, as said, I will go a little bit into what will happen beyond Dublin, because the world will continue. With what will happen at Dublin, the CCNSO Strategic and Operational Planning Working Group will have its kickoff meeting again around the 5-year operational plan update and start the discussions around the fiscal year 17 operational plan and budget. And these are ICANN's planning. Goal of this working group, as some of you will know, is to provide input to these processes and, more importantly, to engage the wider ccTLD community in these planning processes. The reason for mentioning it is that this working group has developed the habit to share its findings with other communities, and which I understand what is always greatly appreciated. So around the Marrakesh meeting, this working group may share its findings with others as well. A second ongoing work item is what is called the review of the CCNSO guidelines. This is a working group committee that has been launched around 3/4 of a year ago, and to review and update the current internal guidelines and rules of the CCNSO. The reason was there was the council and the broader community sensed a need to adjust the internal governance structure of the CCNSO in light of the growth of the CCNSO itself, but also in the context of the accountability discussions and preempting on the CCNSO review itself. So that's with respect to the two items that will be ongoing. And finally, I want to allude to two new initiatives from the CCNSO. One is a very specific working group that has just been recently launched that's on to provide guidance and advice on the a specific aspect of the IDN fast track process, in particular looking at the second review panel, so that's the panel on confusing similarity of the IDN ccTLD string with others, how that process has been conducted, and have a look at the methodology used by this second review panel. So very specific. The reason for mentioning it here today is that shortly ASEC and the GAC will be invited to participate at the request, and that is at the request of the ICANN board which has requested the CCNSO to set up this working group. Another group I want to highlight here, another new group, is what is called the Standing Oversight Committee for the TLD Ops email list. This is a follow-up from the Secure Email Working List, and this email list includes the contact details of the security and people at CCTLDs themselves, so in case of an incident, they can share information to each other in preparation and to mitigate any risks as a result of these security incidents. That's the end of my presentation. At the end of this whole presentation, as said, you will find more more information. And I really want to hand over to my colleague, Carlos. Carlos?
Thank you very much, Bart. Hello, everyone. My name is Carlos Reyes, and I work with Barbara Roseman in support of the Address Supporting Organization, or the ASO. As an overview, the ASO Address Council manages global policy development activities for the ASO, which includes oversight of recommendations concerning IP address policy. The Address Council is composed of 15 members, three from each regional internet registry. The regional policy forum of each RIR elects two members, and the executive board of each RIR also appoints one person from its respective region. Like other community groups at ICANN, the ASOAC is also experiencing leadership changes. Just recently, the APNIC community re-elected Tomohiro Fujisaki, and the APNIC Executive Council reappointed Aftab Siddiqui. Also, the ARIN Board of Trustees appointed John Sweeting to finish the term of Ron Da Silva, who was selected earlier this year by the ASO Address Council to join the ICANN Board of Directors. So these changes are taking place now and at ICANN 54. As I mentioned, the ASO Address Council oversees global policy development for internet number resources. But what is a global policy? Essentially, the RIRs develop many regional addressing policies. These take place over their mailing lists and at regional policy forums. But only very few policies and only those policies that affect the IANA are called global policies. And at that point, the ASO Address Council essentially coordinates the policy development activities to ensure that a global policy is consistent across all RIRs. And when a global policy is proposed, the RIRs have to approve the same policy to ensure that the IANA can carry out its functions. As of right now, there are no global policy proposals. However, there's a lot of policy development activity taking place at the regional internet registry level, including of note, the ARIN region reached its depletion of the IPv4 free pool. So that triggered a series of policies, and that has been an area of discussion within the ARIN region. But as I mentioned, all of the other regions are currently discussing internet number resource policies related to transfers, as well as IPv6 allocation policies. So there's a lot of activity. Looking ahead to the Dublin meeting, the ASO Address Council will have work sessions throughout the week. I'm sure you'll see members of the Address Council as well as the NRO Executive Council, which are the five CEOs of the regional internet registries. They'll be having discussions, obviously, on the CCWG second draft proposal, as well as their open meeting with the ICANN Board of Directors. The ASO NRO workshop will take place on Wednesday, and the CEOs will be providing an update on regional policy development activities, as well as an update on the operational aspects of the NRO and its implementation work. With that, I'll hand it over to my colleague, Steve Shang, who will transition us from the supporting organizations to the advisory committees of ICANN. Steve?
Thank you, Carlos, and good afternoon. My name is Steve Shang. I'm the team leader for RSAC and SAC support. Since ICANN-53, the RSAC produced two documents and chartered one working group. I will provide a brief overview of these efforts as well as RSAC-related meetings in Dublin. Moving on, the first, the RSAC provided comment to the IANA Stewardship Transition Coordination Group's proposal. In this RSAC comment, the RSAC reviewed the ICG plan and observed the ICANN process that has led to it. The RSAC left the details to the community as it considered its role mostly operational of the root servers. The RSAC support the proposal, and from its operational perspective of the root server system, it believes that the plan is workable and it will be a positive step to replace the U.S. government oversight with community oversight of the IANA functions. Moving on, the second report the RSAC produced is the report on root zone TTLs. The TTLs stands for time to live values. It's a technical parameter that specifies the amount of time the DNS data may be stored in a cache as part of the DNS query and response. Now, since 1991, the TTLs in the root zone has not been changed. It is 6 days for authoritative data, 2 days for delegations, and 2 days for glue records. Given today's internet environment, the RSAC proactively considers the extent to which these parameters are still valid today. Now, through its studies, the RSAC finds that the root zone delegation TTLs are still appropriate for today's environment. However, it can be reduced to 1 day without any significant impact on the amount of traffic to root servers, because one of the considerations is reducing the TTLs from 1 day lower would reduce the amount of time in cache and thus could increase the traffic to the root servers. And the RSAC found that is not the case. However, the RSAC is not recommending the change of TTL because when it comes to the root zone, the general principle of conservatism should be used. Whereas situations, changes are needed, there are other ways to address that. The other finding the RSAC has is increasing root zone TTLs should only be done with careful consideration of DNSSEC-related implications. And finally, the RSAC identified two potential problems related to the interaction between the start of authority expire value and the root zone's signature validity period. Now, with these, the RSAC makes two recommendations. The first recommendation is to the root zone management partners to increase the signature validity period for signatures generated by both the key signing key and the zone signing key. The RSAC recommends the KSK validity be increased to at least 21 days and the ZSK validity be increased to at least 13 days. However, the RSAC recognizes this issue is not urgent and should be addressed within the reasonable amount of time. Now, contrary to some of the press gathered from this report, the RSAC does not think this issue is urgent. And second, the RSAC recommend no further changes to the root zone TTLs at this time. Now, the RSAC has also chartered a new work party to look at the history and technical analysis of the naming scheme used for individual root servers. Now, today, the naming scheme for root servers are a2m.rootservers.net. Those are how each of the 13 root letters are named. Now, the RSAC wants to take a look at the history behind this naming scheme and consider changes to the current naming scheme, in particular to move the naming scheme from the .NET zone to possibly to the root zone as undelegated TLDs. And it will also consider the impact to the on the priming responses for this change, perform a risk analysis, and make recommendations to the root server operators, root zone management partners, and ICANN on whether changes should be made and what changes should be made. The work party has been meeting weekly and expect to finish its work in mid-November. So we'll have a update in the next policy webinar. Finally, looking ahead, RSAC is actively participating at ICANN 54. In this meeting, it's going to participate in how it works tutorials. These are tutorials, mostly technical tutorials, organized ahead of the ICANN meeting to provide a background to the community on the technical aspects of the DNS and the root server system. So the RSAC will participate in this time. It will have two working sessions as well as joint meetings with the nominating committee and ICANN board. The public session for RSAC is going to be on Wednesday, and we invite you to join when you can. Now, moving on to the Security and Stability Advisory Committee. Since ICANN 53, ESSEC published SEC 73 ESSEC comments on ICANN root zone key signing key rollover plan. In this comment, the ESSEC reviewed the KSK rollover plan and compare it against an early advisory that ESSEC issued on the same topic, which is SEC 63. The ESSEC notes that there is not a comprehensive correlation of the recommendations in SEC 63 and in the ICANN's plan. After consideration, it believes the recommendation in SEC 63 are still valid and important to consider to implement, and therefore it asked the ICANN design team in its final report to respond directly to each of the recommendations in SEC 63 and provide a rationale in case it chooses not to address the ESSEC recommendations. Next, I'm going to hand over to my colleague Julie Hedlund to finish this part of the update on the ESSEC activities at ICANN 54. Julie?
Thank you very much, Steve. This is Julie Hedlund. And just very quickly, we have several ESSEC public activities at ICANN 54. We have DNSSEC for Everybody, a beginner's guide that will be on the 19th of October from 5:30 to 7 p.m. We have the DNSSEC workshop on the 21st of October. That's Wednesday. It will be from 9 a.m. to 3:15 p.m. And the ESSEC public meeting on the 22nd of October, which will be from 8 to 9 a.m. And you can find all of these items on the online calendar program for the ICANN 54 meetings. There will also be meetings with the community, the ALAC, the ICANN board, and the GNSO. And if you need more information about the ESSEC, there is the link to the main webpage and also to the ESSEC's publications. And now I'd like to turn things over to my colleague, Olaf Nordling, for the GAC update. Thank you.
Many thanks for that, Julie. And hello, everybody. Olaf Nordling here from Brussels, supporting the GAC, which is, of course, the Governmental Advisory Committee, an entity that has currently 154 governments as members and 33 IGOs, intergovernmental organizations, as observers, and meaning that we have added two members and one observer since the meeting in Buenos Aires. And the GAC primarily meets face-to-face at ICANN meetings, and that's where the activities are at its most intense for the GAC. But more and more, and very much so lately, the intersessional work has become quite important, by email, by conference calls, in plenary sessions, and more through working groups. And of course, the raison d'être primary such for the GAC is to provide advice on public policy matters to the ICANN board. And what are they up to in Dublin then? Well, no surprise. IANA stewardship transition and ICANN accountability tops the bill. And from a GAC perspective, there are, well, details of high importance like the so-called stress test 18 and also the aspects of structural changes that have been proposed that are particularly interesting and will be debated deeply in Dublin. Especially since, as Bart mentioned, the GAC is one of the chartering organizations for the CCWG accountability. But, well, lo and behold, there are still remaining issues with the new GTLD program. As Mary mentioned, there is protection of IDO names and acronyms, and we're not completely out of the woods of that one yet, but hope is there. And also there are aspects of the implementation of the GAC safeguard advice in various respects that the GAC would like to have more detailed discussions internally and also with the board about. I mentioned that working groups are becoming more and more important, and there are quite a few, just to mention a few that will meet in Dublin. The Geographic Names Working Group, that are looking into how to look at the protection of geographic names in future rounds. There's also Human Rights and International Law Working Group with obvious connection to one of the provisions in the proposal from the accountability CCWG. And there is a public safety working group that will meet, and that's primarily the law enforcement agencies and consumer protection experts from GAC members and elsewhere that get together in that working group and looking, for example, at the so-called security framework, or otherwise called the Specification 11 framework for the new GTLDs, but also developing the GAC views on the next generation directory services and work ongoing in that front within the GNSO. There will be meetings with the other SOs, in particular the GNSO and the CCNSO, and also with the ALAC and with the board. That's not all, of course. There are other activities, and there will be an election of GAC vice chairs. Currently, up to 5 vice chairs can be elected, and it seems that this will be a very, very smooth exercise this time around. That's not always and necessarily the case. There is also an internal working group for review of the GAC operating principles that will meet and look into those particular aspects. Quite important also when considering that there are views on those from other entities within the accountability CCWG. And of course, there will be preparations for the new foreseen meeting structure of the ICANN meetings, and in particular how to deal with the B meeting, as well as preparations for the upcoming ICANN 55 in Marrakesh, where we will have the third high-level governmental meeting hosted by the Kingdom of Morocco on the Monday in Marrakesh. So there will be a planning session for that meeting in Dublin. And as is tradition since quite some time, the GAC sessions running from Saturday to Thursday, they are all open for attendance, either on the spot or remotely, with one exception, that's the communique drafting session on Wednesday afternoon. So with that, very much welcome to the GAC meeting room, which is called LIFI A, and you can enjoy the proceedings in your choice of seven languages. With that, I conclude and leave it, hand over to my colleague Heidi Ulrich to tell you about the at-large and ALAC. Thank you. Over to you, Heidi.
Thank you very much, Olaf. Hello, my name is Heidi Ulrich. I'm the Senior Director for At-Large and Team Leader for ALAC Support. Today, I'm joined by two of my teammates, Ariel Liang, Policy Analyst, and Sylvia Vivenko, Manager At-Large Regional Affairs. We are delighted to give you a brief update on the activities of the At-Large Advisory Committee of ALAC and the At-Large community, consisting of the five regional At-Large organizations and now over 190 At-Large structures, or ALSs, that have taken place between the ICANN meetings in Buenos Aires and Dublin. We will also provide a preview of At-Large activities that are being planned for ICANN 54. So moving along to the ALAC main topics in Dublin, similar to the GAC and other SOs and ACs, in the run-up to Dublin, the ALAC is focusing on three main topics. The first one is the ICANN accountability and transparency. And as a preface, since August 9, 2014, the ALAC has been holding weekly calls with the at-large ad hoc working group on the transition of U.S. government stewardship of the IANA function, or transition working group for short. And these calls have been covering CCWG as well as CWG issues. The ALAC statement on enhancing ICANN accountability was submitted on the 11th of September. And in this statement, the ALAC noted its support for the CCWG proposal, but with some reservations. The current statement is not what the ALAC would have preferred, as it has no membership model, less legal enforcement, and more goodwill, more complex structure than the ALAC would have liked, and the same mechanism of which deliberately make it difficult for the community to override the board also make it difficult to change as the internet and world evolve. And in Dublin, the ALAC will be discussing this topic over 5 hours during meetings of the ALAC and the Transition Working Group on Saturday, Sunday, and Tuesday. And that is in addition to the other sessions on this topic being held for all of the community. The second topic is the ICG proposal, and on the 8th of September, the ALAC submitted statements for this in response to the ICG consultation. And key points here are a split resulting in the IANA functions being undertaken by more than one IANA functions operator would likely introduce instability. And in the event of an operational community reaching the decision to replace IANA functions operator, they should discuss their decision with other operational communities prior to proceeding forward, seeking all ways to keep all of the IANA functions undertaken by a single IANA functions operator. And in Dublin, similar to the CCWG issues, the ALAC will be talking on this subject on Saturday, Sunday, and Tuesday. And the third topic is that the At-Large Structures Criteria and Expectations Task Force. This is a new task force that has picked up incredibly since ICANN 53 with weekly meetings. This will review the criteria for ALS applications as well as expectations for their activities once they join. And this task force is divided into four design teams, including the application process, ALS criteria, ALS operational expectations, and individuals. In Dublin, the ALAC and regional leaders will continue the process of reassessing the criteria and expectations of becoming and remaining in that large structure. And as a byproduct of this process, the ALAC will be improving the tools and processes to ensure full engagement of ALSs and their members in ICANN activities. I would now like to hand the floor over to my colleague, Ariel, who will provide an update on the ALAC policy statement submitted since ICANN 53. Ariel?
Thank you, Heidi. This is Ariel Liang, policy analyst supporting the ALAC. In addition to the ALAC policy advice on the IANA stewardship transition proposal and the CCWG accountability report that Heidi summarized previously, since the end of ICANN 53, the ALAC submitted or is in the process finalizing 9 other policy advice statements. Now I will provide you a summary of these statements and then highlight a few. First, the ALAC has commented on the initial report from one active GNSO PDP working group, as well as the preliminary issue reports of 2 potential GNSO PDPs. Regarding the potential PDP on the new GTLD subsequent procedures, the ALAC believes that consumer trust is above any and all other issues, and the next round should not be launched in a rush. The topics of community applications, applicant support programs, and global public interests continue to be very important to the ALAC. This topic will be discussed further during the ICANN 54 meeting. Regarding the next generation GTLD registration directory services to replace WHOIS, the main concern from the ALAC is related to the end user community engagement in this potential PDP, which may demand long-term commitments. The ALAC will be vigilant to ensure that measures to enable the broadest participation is considered and implemented. Second, the ALAC commented on the deliverables from 2 GNSO non-PDP working groups. Specifically, the ALAC and at-large representatives have been very active in the policy and implementation working group and support the proposed ICANN bylaws amendments recommendations in general. The ALAC has 2 concerns. One is GNSO's ability to arrive at an equitable solution when public interest is in conflict with the needs of contracted parties. The other is for the implementation of complex policies, such as the new GTLD process. The number of referrals back to the GNSO may elongate the overall implementation process. The ALAC recommends that the ICANN board monitor both issues. Lastly, the ALAC has developed statements on the public comment related to ICANN organizational reviews and is in process finalizing comments on the work of active and the potential ICANN cross-community working groups. In particular, the comments on the use of country and territory names as top-level domains have been developed through in-depth consultation within the wider and large community with the dozens of contributors. My colleagues will speak about those types of CWGs towards the end of this webinar. For more information about ALAC policy advice, you may visit the correspondence page on the current at-large website for the adopted advice, or visit the at-large policy development wiki workspace to follow the ones under development. Back to you, Heidi.
Thank you very much, Ariel. So we'd like to now turn to ALAC and at-large activities at ICANN 54. I'll first start off with the at-large activities. During ICANN 54, the ALAC and at-large will be holding 30 formal meetings as well as several informal meetings. Interestingly, 2 new sessions for the ALAC in Dublin. The first is the ALAC Strategy and Working Session, which will take place on Saturday, the 17th of October. This is an all-day ALAC strategy and working session, which will focus on the work of the ALAC in the upcoming week and allow for additional time for policy discussions that will be taking place. The second one is the ALAC development session, which will be held on Friday the 23rd of October. This is the first of its kind of an onboarding session for the ALAC for incoming and continuing members. In Dublin, the ALAC will be meeting with the CCNSO, the GAC, and SAC leadership, as well as senior ICANN staff. Also, at-large working groups, which are the one of the key ways in which the at-large community develops policy advice, there will be 9 at-large working groups meeting in Dublin. And for more information on both the dates and times of those working groups, please refer to the ICANN meeting schedule, which has been posted. And of note, Urala will be holding a face-to-face General Assembly during Dublin. And I'd like to now turn it over to Sylvia, who will talk more about that General Assembly as well as the other regional at-large organization activities. Sylvia?
Hello. Thank you, Heidi. Hello. My name is Sylvia Vivanco. I am Manager of at-large Regional Affairs, and I will present the RALO meetings in Dublin 2015. AFRALO will hold the AFRALO African Joint Meeting on Wednesday 21st on the theme IANA and ICANN Accountability Transition, Africa Perspective. This meeting will include an opening address by Alan Greenberg, ALAC Chair, Pierre Dandigeno, Global Stakeholder Engagement Vice President for Africa, Rinali Abdul Rahim, ICANN's Board Member, Fadi Chehade, ICANN's President and CEO, and the topic will be introduced by Mohamed El Bashir, AFRALO Vice Chair and Vice Chair of the ICG, by Tijani Benjema, AFRALO Member and ALAC Vice Chair, and the presentation of the draft statement will be done by Sean Ojedeji, incoming AFRALO's ALAC member and member of the CWE. APRALO will hold this meeting on Wednesday 21st, and the agenda includes the review of the activities undertaken jointly by GSC and APRALO under the APEC Hub APRALO framework, and we have the participation of speakers such as Yu Chuan Quek, VP of Global Stakeholder Engagement Asia, Samiran Gupta, GSC Head of India, and Sen Zhong, GSC Head of China, and the introduction of Kaylee Kang, the non-com selectee to the ALAC from the Asia-Australia-Pacific Islands region. EURALO will hold its General Assembly in two parts, and I will provide more details of this meeting in the next slide. LACRALO will hold this meeting on Monday, 19 October, and this meeting will include an update of the ICANN's GSC Latin America and Caribbean, the LAC strategy by Rodrigo de la Parra, VP for Latin America and the Caribbean, Albert Daniels, Stakeholder Engagement Manager for the Caribbean, and Rodrigo Saucedo, Project Manager Latin America and the Caribbean, GSC, among other issues and speakers. NARALO meeting will take place on Monday, 19 October, and this meeting will review this year's accomplishments, challenges, and upcoming projects. We have invited speakers, including ICANN's Compliance Department, Alan Grogan, his ICANN's Chief Contracting Counsel, and Chris Mondini, VP for Stakeholder Engagement for North America. There will be also a cross-RALO meeting on Monday, 19 October. The five RALOs will hold the regional secretariat meeting. Customarily, they meet to discuss issues where RALO's collective input and action is required. And now I will speak about the EURALO General Assembly 2015 and the EURALO GSC European Networking Event. The EURALO General Assembly Part 1 will take place on Wednesday 21st from 10:30 to 12 and will focus on the theme Public Interest in the meeting room Week Low H1. This part will have as invited speaker Nora Abusita, ICANN's VP Development and Public Responsibility, Bill Drake, EURALO's member, and Konstantinos Komaitis of ISOC, among other speakers from EURALO. The part two will be in the afternoon from 15:45 until 17:30, and the guest speakers include Wolfgang Kleinbachter, ICANN board member, Rinali Abdul Rahim, ICANN board member selected by ALAC and at large, Alan Greenberg, ALAC chair, and Jean-Jacques Sahel, VP Stakeholder Engagement for Europe. This section will focus on a review of EURALO's achievements and upcoming plans, and will be followed by the joint EURALO and European coordination and networking event from 18:30 until 20:30. Everyone with an interest on European views on internet governance and ICANN issues is invited to attend this event. The full program is posted in the wiki page on this slide, and you are welcome to participate and come and join us in this event. Thank you very much, and over to you, Ariel.
Thank you, Sylvia. This is Ariel Liang again. I would like to conclude the ALAC at Large session with one piece of exciting news. The at-large website has gone through a redesign process, and the new site will serve as a template for a future website redesign of ACs and SOs. Its beta testing site will be unveiled during ICANN 54 meeting in Dublin on Tuesday, 20th of October at the Wicklow H1. Everyone is welcome to attend the session and provide your feedback on the beta site. Furthermore, ICANN staff will also be available at the newcomers booth on Tuesday, October 20th and Wednesday, October 21st to distribute the new URL. And anyone interested is welcome to stop by, test out the site, and share your experience on the spot. The development of this site will continue after the beta launch, and the official website will meet the public towards the end of 2015. Next, I will turn the floor to my colleague, Lars Hoffman, who will introduce you to the ICANN Cross-Community Working Group.
Thank you, Ariel, and hello, everyone from Brussels. The Cross-Community Working Group on the Use and Territory Names in Top-Level Domains, as you can see on the slide here, follows on the 2013 study group, in fact, on the same name, and it's chartered to propose a policy framework on two-character, three-character, and full names representing country and territory names as top-level domains. Note that all issues regarding second or lower-level domains is out of scope of this cross-community working group. The group has tentatively reached its conclusion of its discussion on two-character codes, and maintaining the status quo of two-character codes being reserved as CCTLDs, looking like the most promising outcome at the moment. A survey on three-character codes as representing country and territory names as top-level domains has been sent out to all of ICANN's supporting organizations and the advisory committees, as well as the GNSO's stakeholder groups and constituencies. And as you can see here on the slide, the discussion of this issue, including any community feedback received, will form the core of the discussion of the CWG in Dublin. And finally, the initial report is currently scheduled for ICANN 55. And with that, I'm passing on to my colleague, Mary. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lars. Hello, everybody. It's Mary Wong again. So from Brussels, we're now in New England, and I'd like to talk to you a little bit about this other cross-community working group. And it's perhaps fitting that we are about to conclude our presentation for today, that given the increasing number of cross-community working groups and the focus on the nature of the work of these groups, that there is a cross-community working group that is working to develop a framework of fundamental principles that will guide the formation, the operation, and the outcomes of future cross-community working groups, because the expectation is that there will continue to be issues that will cut across the interests of the various ICANN supporting organizations and advisory committees. You see the status there in that this framework is still a work in progress, and because of the number of other activities going on, as well as the need to continue to absorb lessons learned from some of the past and ongoing cross-committee working groups, there's not an open session plan for Dublin, but the hope is that the draft framework that's currently being worked on will be published for all the SOs and ACs, as well as, of course, the chartering organizations of this cross-committee working group to review, to comment, and to finalize. So on that note, I'm going to swivel back to Europe and hand us back to our very able orchestrator today, Benedetta.
Thanks, Mary. This is Carlos Reyes. I'm filling in for Benedetta right now. We're actually transitioning to our question and answer session. So at this point, I'll ask anyone who's on the call, if you're interested in joining our queue, to press star 1, and you'll be able to ask the policy development support team your questions. In the meantime, as the operators open the lines, we'll go ahead and just review some of the questions we received during the RSVP collection period. Our form allowed for participants to submit questions ahead of time, and we selected two of those questions here. The first question, if ICANN receives individual complaints about who is inaccuracy from a third party, how does ICANN inform the relevant registrar, and how can ICANN share these requests with the domain owner? So here we provide a link to our compliance process and approach, but also just as more as with further information, the registrars have obligations to provide affirmative responses. So all of this, including corresponding with the domain name owner, and all of this is based on the RAA accreditation. The second question that we received, in what ways can ICANN best support those within Iran, including inside the government, who seek a change toward multi-stakeholderism in Iran's official policies? Obviously, this is very much in line with ICANN's global engagement strategy and approach. And along those lines, ICANN staff visited Iran in November 2014 for several meetings, and this has resulted in a few engagement efforts, but also more participation from Iran in regional activities. So as you can see, there's definitely a lot of activity there, and ICANN's currently working on organizing a GNS security workshop in Tehran later this year. It looks like we do not have any participants in the queue. I'll wait a few more seconds. Again, at any point, if you have questions for the team, feel free to reach out to us. And with that, I will hand it over back to David Olive, as we conclude our pre-ICANN 54 policy update webinar.
Thank you very much, Carlos, and my colleagues in the policy development team. We appreciate the time that you've given us to share with you the many activities planned in our policy areas for ICANN 54 in Dublin. And, of course, the best way to stay updated on the policy area would be to subscribe to our monthly update newsletter that provides the overview of the various activities and the supporting organizations and the advisory committee in their policy and advice work. And then just to say to you, that our policy development team, we have 27 members stationed throughout the world, speaking 15 languages in 5 time zones, and all part of our support effort, your work in the SOs and the AACs on policy. And with that, we will be providing you the link to the slides and the recording that will be made available for this. And, of course, we're going to repeat our presentation to people at a different time so that we can reach a wider audience today. So with that, I would like to thank everyone for your time and for allowing us to share with you some of the latest developments as we prepare for Dublin. We'll see many of you there in person or through remote participation, which allows you to be involved from where you are located and without travel. In any case, we look forward to your involvement and participation. And with that, I would like to wish everyone a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning, wherever you may be. Thank you so much.